Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
This kind of came to mind on the afternoon of July 23rd in 2018, near the town of Redding. How many of you ever know where Redding is in Northern California? Been to Redding? Yeah. So you know that the town of Redding there was a fire that started. Now, this fire was started because a guy was driving a trailer and had a blowout and kept driving, and it threw sparks up, and the sparks went off to the side of the road. And if you know, in Northern California, there's an awful lot of leaves, and it sparked a fire. And by July 26th, the fire had increased, and it jumped the Sacramento River. That would be something to see, how a fire could jump a river there. But it made its way and surrounded the town of Redding, and it caused an evacuation of 38,000 people, all from a guy who was driving, who blew a tire and continued to go and, you know, try to get that extra couple miles. It turned out that 8 people died in the fire, including 3 firefighters. The car fire, it was known as the car fire, and it became the 7th most destructive fire in California history. And with a cost of $1.6 billion, all because of carelessness or obliviousness during someone's journey. But out of the tragedy, there are some wonderful examples of grace and of heroism. Fire departments from other states dropped what they were doing and came to assist in fighting the fire. It turned out that in the middle of the blaze, the fire surrounded a hospital. Here you have on the lower right slide here. Imagine walking into a hospital, and right on the side you see this blaze coming. Well, they have a NICU at that particular hospital. And although they were getting more and more cut off, several individuals showed up, and helicopters came and began to evacuate these NICU patients to take them to another facility L.C. Davis there at the hospital there. So the firefighters tirelessly fought the blaze, and there was even a movement on social media afterwards that I thought was pretty interesting, which was to forgive whoever this person was. There was a big move saying, look, they don't call them on purposes, they call them accidents. And so that was kind of neat there. And so as I thought about that today, it's interesting how tragedy can sometimes reveal a greater character. Even something that happens, even something horrible that happens, can reveal greater character. And so as I thought about that, today we're going to look at a character in the Bible who kind of is oblivious to everyone else around, and his events bring other people into harm's way. But there's also a greater character revealed. So we're going to continue in our series called Renegade, studying the book of Jonah. Today, though, we're going to look at the character of God. Now, last week we looked at how the background of Jonah, as well as the first part of chapter 1, and we see that Jonah is running from the mission of God. Here it is, a prophet of God, and God tells him to take a mission. He doesn't want to do it, to take his word. And he's oblivious to people around him, so to the point of bringing other people into harm's way. And so that was our big thing, is when we are disobedient to God, it's not just you who gets hurt. Your actions impact those around you. And I'd like to add, your inactions impact those around you. Your choice to stand or your choice not to stand. It's not just about you. Imagine what life would look like if, for just an instance, we had the true understanding that every place you are, every moment that you are there has been orchestrated by the Almighty. And we walk through life just making careless decisions with whatever just happens to be our fancy, our whim. Imagine what life would look like if every decision we felt had eternal impact or could have eternal consequence. Oh, you mean whether I should order a hamburger or a chicken sandwich? No, I'm talking about, well, your interaction to people around you. It changes your life, gang. It truly changes your life. You recognize that we have a life on purpose. And so today we're going to continue in our series on Jonah, but we're going to find in the midst of his disobedience and the wake of chaos that makes, we're going to see some greater theological truths on our journey. Much like finding the stories of heroism and bravery in the aftermath of the car fire, we're going to learn some things about God through the tumultuous situations that are engulfing Jonah's questionable life choices, as well as the consequences of those actions. Now, in some ways, you know, I kind of relate Jonah to our trailer truck driver there. And so let's get to the lesson. So in Jonah chapter 1, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in verse 7. So he's on the boat, he's running from God, and the storm comes, and they're all in trouble. And so they said to one another, after Jonah, they find out who Jonah is, he says he's a prophet of the Almighty God. He says, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What's your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country, and what are your people? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Yeah, obviously he fears the Lord. That's why he's running from him, right? That's why he's refusing to do. I love it. I love it how we can give the right answers when we're put in the question mark. But does our life validate our testimony? You want to talk to any pastor in the United States, and that's like the main thing. Does our confession, do our actions match our confession? And that's the journey of discipleship, is that our actions come in line with our confession. And he goes on to say, so I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So he fears the Lord so much that he disobeys him. Okay? One of the most unique things that we find about the book of Jonah, just when we step back and look at an overview, is Jonah's unique among the prophets because Jonah's not about the prophecies. Most every other prophetic book is about the prophecies. So Jonah stands unique. That it's not about the prophecies, it's actually about the prophet. And the lessons that we learn, and I'm sorry to kind of, you know, come in conflict with perhaps when you're a kid and you learn Sunday schools about the wonderful hero of Jonah who was in the belly of the whale. He's kind of a jerk. Okay? And I mean, yeah, God uses him. Good news, because I've been a jerk at times in my life and I'm thankful that God has used me. So for all the jerks in the room, you have hope. But let's depart the island of jerkiness, okay? Let's come out of that place. Last week, as I said, if we read this book rightly, we're going to be challenged on how we live our lives. And the lessons of Jonah are not necessarily do it like this. We can learn a lot from Jonah, and sometimes those lessons are what not to do. And those are valid lessons as well. How many of you, you know, you raise your kids and you say, well, whew, please don't do this because I did this and it doesn't turn out right. And how does that usually work with our kids? Okay, can I have 20 bucks? Yeah, they go and do the same thing. Yeah. Let's go on 11 through 16. So here's where it gets neat. Here's where it gets neat. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Now we read this and we think, aha, what a selfless act. No, you coward. If he meant that, why didn't he jump off? What is he really doing? He's taking kind of a chicken way out. He's not owning responsibility. He's not doing anything. He's like, oh, I have this horrible thing. And so here's what you need to do. So the punishment of God would come upon the people who murdered one of his prophets. Wow. What a hero. Sarcasm. You ever read it like that? I began to read this and be like, woof, this is starting to challenge me on some bigger levels. So cowardice, you know, that's where you come back to the greatest commandment is definitely love, love. So by far, greatest commandment that God gives us is love, but the most frequent command that God gives us is not love, it's fear not. And the forms of that are do not be afraid, do not fear, do not be anxious, do not worry. That all says the same thing. And here we are with Jonah. This looks like a noble act, but man, really doesn't seem that Jonah's basically saying this. I would rather die than do God's will. Do we ever get there? Do we ever get to that place in our lives where we're so... I mean, look, I lived here for, 13 going on 14 years. I married a Pike County girl. We're stubborn, right? Don't get mad. Oh, you're so stubborn, you're not even going to say yes, right? We are some stubborn people, right? We continue to live in a land that has all kinds of allergies and all kinds of crazy stuff. And yet we love this place and we're stubborn folks. Amen, preacher. Thank you. Okay. We have this understanding, but sometimes that gets in our way of our journey with God. It says, so pick me up, throw me into the sea, and quiet down, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, verse 13, I like this. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. This is kind of interesting, because they're like, no! We're not gonna do this. So they're actually fearing God more than Jonah is. Isn't it a kick when the non-Christians live more righteous lives and more whole, more virtuous lives than Christians? Well, that never happens. Boy, yeah, it does. It does all the time. And that's a sad state of affairs. And now look at verse 14. Therefore, what's the next word? Can you read it there? It's kind of close. Therefore they, in verse 14, therefore they called out to the Lord. Now who is the they? Is it Jonah? No. Is Jonah calling out to the... Don't you think this might end with the prophet saying, okay, God, you win. I will do what you want. We don't read that. What we hear is the only intercession that's happening up to this point are the people who don't know God who are calling out to him. Wow. And here's what they called. Oh, Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. They're in a bad spot here. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And look what they did. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You know, there are times in my life where I've made a mess of things. Anybody else made a mess of some things? And in my arrogance and in my pride, this is the theological lesson that I learned. Is somehow I think because I've made such a mess of things that God can't work in the midst. And so maybe this is a good theological lesson for us. Is God is bigger than your mess? You think, boy, I want to share with somebody, but I just said something wrong. Oh, I didn't do good enough. And you would find out that the Holy Spirit moves upon it, and the Holy Spirit can take your little and make it a lot. I mean, think about the prophet comes to the widow's house and at Zarephath, and they're, I don't, this is all I have. I don't have much. I just have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I don't have much. I've made a mess of everything in my life. And yet God can touch it and make something great, and it can sustain them for a long, long season. Your mess in God's hands can be very powerful. It can change lives. So we really do need to kind of get over ourselves to a certain degree. Although Jonah gives no thought to the sailors are sure giving thought to God. What struck me here is the real righteous ones on the boat were the sailors, not the prophet. What an indictment when the world acts with more integrity than those who claim to serve God. And so here's where the huge debate comes into play. Okay, with verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now I know, here's where the huge debate comes into play. You talk with individuals and they say, you see, therefore the Bible is not worthy to be believed because that is impossible. It's impossible for that to happen, and it's foolish to believe. Any of you Bible-thumping idiots, you have to realize, no. Some people try to make a bridge of apologetics, and they teach, well, this is figurative language, not literal language. Why do they say this? Because God can't do impossible things. Here's where I stand. God does impossible things all the time. Who are we to tell God what He can and cannot do? You know what's really impossible? That a holy, loving, perfect God could love me. That's impossible. You want to talk impossibilities? It's impossible with the mess that we make of our lives to have any hope of redemption. And yet we do. God is the God of impossible situations. Now on top of that, I've seen people receive divine healing. I've seen God break the laws of nature. The Bible is loaded with times. That's why we have these things written. That's why we have a count. I've shared the story of the gal with stage 4 ovarian cancer in jail. And God healed her. Flat out healed her to the point where she made signed off that the doctor said, we can't possibly tell you what this is. Now, is she going to live forever? If she gives her life to Christ, she is. She will live forever, eternally. Some people that happens. Other people, we don't understand the will of God. So I'm not saying that every time that we say something or claim something, I don't understand the ways of God, but I know that God is the God of the impossible. Divine healing is possible. Walking on water is impossible, unless it's frozen. Parting the Red Sea, the resurrection, those are all impossible. And we worship a God who is the God of the impossible. So my brothers and sisters, that's our first theological point for us today. And so in the midst of Jonah making a mess of things, we're seeing in the midst of this chaos and this turmoil, a character of God. And so whatever if you're sitting here today and you have some rough things around, you've got some rough seas that you're in, you're in a hard spot, I want to encourage you that God can reveal his character in the midst of your storm. He can reveal things about himself in the midst of your chaos. So my first point today is that God always has a way. God always has a way. If you're desperate, please know that God always has a way. Here's the theology. Here's the character of God. We can compare the questionable character of Jonah against the eternal nature of God. And we find this. That God's way is often beyond anything that we could fathom. I guarantee you Jonah didn't wake up this morning and think, you know what would be a really cool thing? I think I'm going to take a ride in the middle of a great fish. Yeah. There's places I wake up sometimes and I think, how did I get here? It's kind of like that talking heads. How did I get here? You don't know. Our great fish can be a lot of different things. How the hand of God moves and takes you to where you are. But God always has a way. And usually, gang, His ways are not ours. Very few times in my life do I think, this is how you should do it, God. This is how I think that God... And when I think that, God usually has an entirely different way. Because, Brad, that's how I would think. I think, well, yeah, I got to pay for college. It's time to get some scratch. That's how it's... No, that's not that. God has different ways. Okay, so here's a personal testimony, and I've shared this before. My entire college planning for my kids was stolen. It was embezzled. And I have a kid going to college, and we think, what happened now? How are we going to do this? God, how are you going to make a way? And I got to tell you, God has made a way. God has made a way. I scratch my head so much my hair's gone. I don't shave, I just scratch it off, thinking of how good is God. I can't sit right now and pull out a spreadsheet and tell you how he has done it, but he continues to do it. Praise God. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That says it right there, gang. Proverbs 3:5-8. Let's all read this together. It's probably one of your memory verses, and it should be. You should know this verse by heart. Ready? Trust in the... No, everybody's got... I know not everybody sang the hymns this morning, but y'all going to read this because you need to. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with... Oh, no, gang. We're going to read this with conviction. Ready? In the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, for it will be healing to all your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't consider that their way was going to be through the fiery furnace. They didn't think that that was what was going to happen. Okay? Joseph didn't think that his way to the fulfillment of God's plan was going to be through a prison and through a pit and through being a servant. He didn't think that. But God made a way. And whatever you're facing today, I want you to know that God will make a way. He's not done. The disciples didn't consider that the way to the fulfillment of God's salvation was that their leader was going to be crucified. But God had a way through the cross. Trust in the Lord and he will make a way. If you're in a tough, desperate place, God has a way. Let's go on to chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to you, O Lord, out of my distress. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, that's hell, I cried and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep. Here's our point 2, and it's some more theological work. And I talk to so many people who ask me to pray for them. And I do, gladly. Don't ever hinder or hesitate to ask me to pray for you. I'd be happy to pray for you. But I want you to also know that you can talk to God. And all of us do. And for so many of us, we think that our prayers don't count. Look, gang. Jonah's not racking up a whole lot of good boy points here. All right? Here's what we know about Jonah thus far. We read in other spots of the Old Testament that we have Jonah who is giving a message to a corrupt king of God's hand of prosperity. And then God has to bring the prophet Amos around to say, no. It's all being taken away. So we have him some questionable things at the beginning, and now we have another message from God and him saying, I ain't going to take it to those jerks. I'm not going to take the message to a Patriot fan. No-wee. I'm not sitting next to those L.A. fans. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'll be dead and buried before I recognize Missouri as a state. Exactly. No. Gang. A little Simpsons reference there. The Lord, here is God. He is running and he's a selfish. In some ways, he's kind of like a little baby throwing a tantrum. And guess what? God's character isn't dependent upon ours. Because if I had long enough to talk with each one of us, we would all come to agreement that we've all thrown a temper tantrum with God as well, right? Yep. So second big theological point for us today is this. God hears us when we call out to him. Even when you've been a jerk. God hears us when we call out to him. Now, I will give you this, that there are parts in Scripture when, and it's hard because, okay, what about the times when Scripture when it says, you call out to me, you know, and I'm not going to listen. Well, that when you break down the word listen, necessarily is talking about acquiescing. So sometimes we set our table and we make our messes. And we have to, and the way of God is to help us ride out through the mess. But God always hears. And God is faithful when we repent. And so Jonah goes on here, and like Psalm 145, let me read this. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He'd made. Psalm 116:5. Gracious is the Lord in righteousness, the righteous. God is merciful. I'm so happy and thankful that God is merciful. Jeremiah 29:12-14. Then you'll call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me when you find me. You will seek me when you seek me with all your heart. That's some good news from God for us. And He heard Jonah. He heard Jonah in the belly, and He will hear you. So let's go on to continue in Jonah chapter 2, verses 10 through chapter 3, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. This blows my mind. This blows my mind. So Jonah's been running. He's made a mess. His decisions have impacted others. He's been selfish. So right now, most of us in some form or another can relate to him, right? I was going to name this message, I'm Jonah. Because at times in our life, we are all Jonah. Lord, we just pray for wherever that the fire trucks are going. We just ask that you would give grace and skill and protect the people who are around in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord spoke to the fish. It vomited him out. And then the word of the Lord came. This is what blows my mind. And this is another great theological point. This lets us know about the character of God. We know that He is more powerful than our junk. We know that He is greater than our mistakes. We know that He can use us even when we feel unusable, because it's Him who does great and powerful things. We know that He always hears us. And here's the next part, is God gives us a second chance. God gives us a second chance. Now, let me give you a word of caution upon this theological point, because this is some of my issue with folks who I feel cheapen grace, is because many people take this part of the character of God and they kind of really hedge their bets. They live pretty hard on the line here that God's going to give them a second chance, so my first chance doesn't matter. That's the same character that says, it's okay for me to sin because God will forgive me. You're on some shaky ground there, gang. I mean, Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews talks about that in some pretty stark language about to those who continue to sin when they have the knowledge of good, that there's nothing left. There's no sacrifice left for sin except just a fear of an impending judgment. So I want you to understand here. Don't use the fact that God gives us a second chance as that the first chance doesn't matter. Because and here's why. And this is the lesson we learned from Jonah. People who roll in that philosophy bring other people into harm's way. Because that's what Jonah is banking on, kind of. Is he's waiting on. This is what happens when we live our life waiting for that second chance. Is we get on the boat and the boat starts tossing and turning. We're like, wonder what's happening to you? And it's because of us. Well, Pastor, you're putting an awful lot of guilt on us. You mean the fact that I haven't shared Christ with another person means that their life might be less blessed? Yeah. You think the fact that I haven't shared Christ means that their life might be more difficult and they feel like that they're alone and separated and they have to face all the world's challenges on their own? Yes. Their boat is rocking. Because you haven't shared the message that God wants you to. Now, let's make that really personal so Pastor Mike can get all in your junk. That means family, co-workers, friends, and people around you. That Debbie Downer who's always got drama in their life, who annoys the living heck out of you, and yet you've never shared Christ with her. Boy, well, when she get, what, you waiting for her to get her stuff together and then you'll share Christ? Oh, that's real nice. Isn't this good? No, Pastor, we really don't like this. I mean, I love this. This stuff, this is so rich. God gives us a second chance. That means that God redeems and uses Jonah. When others would be done with us, God offers hope. And so for us, if we consider Jonah and all that he has done, and yet God still offers him a chance to be used, that means to us that no situation that you face is too great for God to make a way. It means that no matter where you are, God hears you. So we ought to be calling to him, and no matter what we have done, that God has a plan for us. And brothers and sisters, that is good news. That is good news. So as much as we could look at this as, wow, the character of Jonah is kind of questionable, the real message of this book is the character of God, which is wonderful and loving and awesome and eternal. Amen? Brothers and sisters, don't wait for the second chance. If you have made a mess, God will give you. Let's stand to our feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.